it's definitely good to be with you this morning and knowing that we are changing into the season, so there's going to be a bunch of hacking and a bunch of coughing, so we saw that already this morning, but that's another reason why my wife is out with the migraines again. And so, but what would the world be like without love? But more importantly, what would it be like without God's love? Because we think we know how to love, but we struggle really loving. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John this morning here. We're going to work through that a little bit as we move through a little bit about what God has for us and some things there with love and some of that as well. So I want to help you try to understand some of that. With that, then the greatest piece is the Scriptures will help us through that this morning. So it is good to be here. I do want to say again, as you turn over to 1 John chapter 4, that we did have a great fundraiser last Thursday. We ended up raising over $11,000. So that was for the ministries, which is good. So but we are actually in a $60,000 campaign till the end of the year. So that gets counted toward that, and I know right now that we're sitting about $15,000, just a little bit over that. So I just want you to ask you to pray about that God would give that to us, because God has given us a great task and a lot of ministries to work in. And we've got several people out today, but some of them have called me and told me they were going to be out, but we are here today, and some of them are in other places doing other things. But so I want to read out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 here. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." What it does is, for this 1 John chapter 4 and 5 begins to break it down to really what it is, because we can just say God is love and try to grasp that and try to put our arms around that and understand that. But what we do is we do struggle with that a lot. So the Scriptures will give us some pieces here. So we know that God is love. It says this is how we know in verse 9. This is how we know. This is how God shows His love among us. So we're going to see how God shows His love toward us. And what it says, He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. It isn't that He just sent His Son, but that we might live through Him. Because we don't do life well on our own. We just don't do life well on our own. When we do it on our own, we do not really experience the love that God has. We may know about it, but we don't experience it. We're always wanting God to show His love to us. We're always wanting God to show that He's there. Listen, He's been here longer than we have ever been. The peace is we're always asking God to do something for us when we need to do something for Him. That we need to show that. That we need to allow His Son to live through us. And this is how God shows His love. That He sent His only Son that we might live through Him. There's an opportunity that we can connect with God's love, not just for us to receive it, but to live through Him. It's an ongoing thing. But the Scriptures continues on, and it says, this is love. So what is love? This is love. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You're going to see a theme here that continues to be, God keeps telling you, I sent my Son for you. What else do you want me, and how else do you want me to prove that I love you? How else does God need to prove that He loves us? It says that this is how He shows His love, that He sent His Son for our atoning of our sins, for things that we did, not for the things that He did, but the sins that we committed. And He loves us enough that He sent His Son for the sacrifice, for our atoning of our sins, to pay for those sins. Our way is not working. I want to tell you, our way is not working. Even in our government, it's not working. The Bible says that if we want to get it right, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and we got to do that, we can't even humble ourselves. We're struggling in this country. I don't care who the president is. I'm not a party person. I think we get wrapped up in all that. We need to get wrapped up in God, because God's throne never changes. But man's throne changes. Listen, Rome was here for about quite a long time, but they didn't last. England had its run, and it didn't last. France had a short run. It didn't last. Nobody's kingdom here lasts. None. There is only one. And it is the kingdom of God's. God sits on the throne, and His Son sits next to Him interceding for you and I. That is scriptural. That is scripture. And He intercedes for you and I for the things, because this is the part, that we might live through Him. Listen, this is our country. We need to love our country. We need to do the things that we need to do. But I'm telling you, life goes on beyond the grave. And the grave says that there is an eternity and there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you have an opportunity to grab onto the thing that you can't grab onto unless God opens up. And He has, and it is His love. And His love is awesome. His love is awesome. And His love is all about giving, forgiving, and blessing. And He doesn't want you to miss it. Verse 13 says, "We know that we love, that we know that we live in Him, and He is in us because He has given us His Spirit, His Holy Spirit." He's put His Holy Spirit into us, and that's because He knows we can't do it on our own without Him. We need His Holy Spirit to live a successful life as a Christian in this world. Even though he's on the throne and Jesus is next to Him and they're doing their thing and they see all things, they still know that we need His Spirit inside of us all the time. Even if you've been a Christian, as long as you've been a Christian, you still need the Holy Spirit. You still need to concede to the Holy Spirit. You need to ask God to give you a discernment to know and ears to hear what His Holy Spirit is speaking to you and how He speaks to you in your life and the decisions that you're trying to make, the choices that lay before you, the roads where you're not sure at the fork which way to go, to the left or the right or right up the middle. The Holy Spirit speaks to us the things of God to push us and draw us to the things of God. And your life is valuable. Make sure you get caught up in the right things and not in the temporal things. God will always be God. This world will change one day with a consuming fire. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying, thank God that He gives us the warnings, that we might keep our feet in line with His Word. But it's all because He loves us. We're the ones that's turned our back on God. We're the ones that sinned before God. God did not sin. We've sinned before God. And this is the way He says that we can fix some things in our life. That if we need to attain, we need to reach out and grab onto His Son. But He says this. Now, God is love. We see that God is love. We love because He first loved us. But He's also given us a command. There is a command that He has about. There's a command. And when God gives a command, He doesn't say that, "I hope you do it." He doesn't say, "I think you ought to do it." But it's a command. We as Americans, we don't like bosses. We don't like to be under authority. Do you know that there are people in the world that cannot make choices on their own? North Korea is one of those countries. Someone else, one person makes all the decisions for that whole country. They're under His command. And people look at that and go, "Wow, you know, we look at it because it's a total dictatorship, it's totally communist, all those kind of things." But you know, we have a God that we should be under His command. We are called to be under His command. But we fight tooth and nail because we don't want to do what He's called us to do. We don't want to live the way He's called us to live. We don't like it. We like some of the things, but we don't like it that we can go out and, "I want to be able to go out with my boyfriend or my girlfriend and have sex outside of marriage," or, "I want to go out and party. I want to be able to get drunk once in a while. I want to be able to do this once in a while." Listen, God has commands for those things. And we don't like it when those things come up in front because we want to do those things. But He says, and this is the testimony in chapter 5. Now let me go back up. Chapter 5, yeah. Chapter 4, verse 21. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. And He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Which means we are to love the family of God. We are to love the family of God. Whether they be Baptist, Pentecostal, Brethren Church, Nazarene. We are to love the family of God. Because we have one Father and that is the Father. We have one God and that is Him. We are the children. And we're trying to tell our Father how and what children that we should love and what we should not. We need to express our love for others. We struggle with that. We get upset with each other from time to time. But we need to learn how to love one another. There are some churches you can walk into, man, and you can feel the presence of just love. This is not one of them. I've been here 18 years. Love is very difficult sometimes in this church. We are great with other things. But we struggle with love. We struggle with love because we look too much on the inward part of our own selves and not at others. We struggle with loving. But he says, whoever loves God must also love his brothers. God's watching to see how you love other people and not just yourself. That you love others and not just your own self. And we need to learn how to love. And if you don't know how to do it, ask God and he will give it to you. He'll show you how to love people that don't look like you. Listen, it's time. We took the challenge in January to grow up in Jesus. And this is a big move here today. This is a hard one today. To learn how to love people. Learn how to slow down on your race sometimes and stop and see what God's putting in your life. Because he's saying, I want to show my love to that person, but I want to do it through you. And when you can express the love that God wants to express through you, he's going to use you in more ways. We need to love one another more, but we also need to be loved more. Hello? Amen? Some of you are lonely because you don't know how to love, but some of you are lonely because we don't know how to love you. We need to learn how to love more. We need to learn how to love other people's children. We need to learn how to love other people's families. We need to learn how to love. And we can't run out here and say, God, we want to win the world for you and all those things. If he says, listen, you can't love your own people, how can you love people that you don't even know? We got to learn to love one another. We got to learn how to love each other. I told you, love is more complicated than you think. Chapters 4 and 5 really work on this whole piece of love. And it really comes down to your relationship and where it is with God. So we challenge ourselves and want to find out, how do we know that we are loving? So we go in chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, this is how we know that we love the children of God. So I say, I think I love people, but this is how we know that we love them. He says, by loving God and carrying out his commands. What was his command prior? That you love the brothers. That you love the family of God. He says, this is love for God. He says, this is how we know that we love the children, the family of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Regardless of whether you think it or not, if you are a believer in Christ, you are part of the family of God. Now I know some of you may struggle with a sibling in your life. You might struggle with a brother that you have, that you grew up with, or a sister that just annoyed you your whole life, and you may kind of bash today. And that's the family that you grew up in. It's not a perfect family. It's kind of messy sometimes. Everybody's families are different. Your bloodline, your blood family, everybody is different, but you have a family. Here's the thing. You can't change your bloodline. You can't change your blood. Your family is who you have. But I want to tell you, God gave us a bigger family. Not that you stop loving your physical family, but God's given us an eternal family. And he's telling us we need to learn how to love all people, not just our own family, our own grandkids, our own kids, our own people, and our own people in our church, but we need to learn how to love the family of God. The family of God, because you don't know who you're going to be rooming with up there. You don't know who you're going to be with up there. You don't know what task God's going to give to you when you get up there. And there may be some people that, I don't know how it's going to work up there, but I just know this. Being in the presence of God is going to be awesome. And there's going to be love in the house. And you're going to feel love that you never felt down here. But you're going to feel it. But we practice it here. We practice for the great peace that when we get up there. And we know that some of us, we get to a place sometimes where we all get a little bit lonely. We all feel a little bit down from time to time. Listen, it isn't always about keeping all that stuff all wrapped up into yourself. You see, sometimes we're not loved because we push people away. We don't want nobody in. Sometimes we don't want nobody in because we don't want them to see our sin. And sometimes we don't want nobody in because we don't trust people because we've been burnt before. Sometimes we don't let people in because we don't trust people and we've lost trust with people. But God says we're to love. We're to love. We are to love. And we are to show that love. And how do we do it? We've been challenged to learn how to love the flock, the family of God. But he also says this in verse 3. He says, this is love for God. So how do we obey God's love? It says, once again, to obey his commands. We just don't like that because it tells us that there's a word for that. Obedient. To be obedient. Okay? To be obedient. To obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. They're not heavy. Why do we think God's commands are so heavy? They're not that heavy. He calls us to worship, so you just on Sunday morning, you get up, you get dressed, and you show up. You get up, dress up, and show up. Be there. Be a part of it. Church has a function over here. Be a part of it. Listen, all that other stuff you're doing can be great stuff, but you're going to miss out on some things of God and some blessings of God when you're not a part of the things of God. You're asking God to bless your part, but you can't be a part of what His part is. Are we in church now? Or am I talking to a bunch of lost people? Are we talking to believers? We want God to bless our stuff, but we're not being a blessing to His stuff. It's not just about Sunday morning. You breathe this stuff every day because you're a family. You don't become a family of God just on Sunday mornings. You become a family of God all the time. Right. You can be a witness wherever you're at. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. These two chapters narrow it down. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way that God shows us that we can have the true love that He has for us. The only way that we can have eternal life is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That's it. It's how God showed His love to us. It's how God showed His love to us. But also we see a piece here. There's a testimony. Testimony is what is true, right? Testimony is that piece that is true. That's that promise. It's backed up by action. It's a testimony. We ask for testimony from time to time. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is as simple as that. Draw a line in the sand. You either have Jesus and have salvation and eternal life, or you don't. There is no other way. That's the testimony of love. That is the testimony of love. And here's a piece down here. We look at the confidence. Now, because it says that we grow up in the Lord, it says that we overcome the world. We have overcome it. Not because we are powerful, but because he who that is in me is greater, right, than he that is in the world. Okay? But it says this is the confidence we have in approaching God. We should be confident when we come to God. We should be confident when we go to God in prayer. Some of you here on Wednesday night worship service, and I'm going to share a story that I shared because I think it's fitting. So you that came on Sunday, Wednesday night, you're going to have to hear it again. Because there is a power when you go to God in confidence. When you go to God and you know He's going to answer, you know that God's going to answer if it is His will. But if it is not, you know that He answered it with a no. That's how we go to God with confidence. Lord, I'm praying for this. I'm praying for this. And you get specific. You need to be specific when you pray. So that when it's answered, you can say, praise God, He answered my prayer. And this is my new testimony. This is what God, I prayed for this, and God answered that prayer. Some of us can't, if I asked you for a testimony, some of you could not give me a fresh testimony, but of something many years ago, because your relationship with God is not staying fresh. You're not praying specifically enough. But He says, this is the confidence that when we are approaching God, it says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, sometimes we go to God and we want to pray about something, and because we have some things, other things going on in our life that we're not trying to work out, God's saying, I'm not going to hear that. I want to work on some other things in your life. Or He hears those things and He's working on those things. God's doing always more in your life than you think. Don't think God's not doing things in your life. He is. He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now here it goes. You ready? And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. It's just like being a child, going up to the father or parent and asking for the parent for something. And when the children go to their parents because they know the parents is the one that can give them an answer their question or meet the need in their life at that time. I'm not going to say the name of the church, but there was a church here in town that I was a part of for about 5 years. There were some things going on in that church that I really wasn't sure what was right, what was wrong, but back in 2000. I had left and started with New Life in 2001, and in that church, there were some things that were kind of stirring up. But I want to tell you, sometimes when good things are going, when things are, sometimes, you know, there can be some things that God is doing in a church, and then there are some things that Satan can be doing in a church. There's a spiritual battle is going on. But I always believe God is a God of mercy, and God is a God of patience, and He does, and He works through them. He's waiting for us to get our lives right, and He gives His people time to get their lives right. And there was a time when they wanted to get all the pastors up there. I remember several and some other leaders were up there, and they wanted to pray for the senior pastor there. They were preaching on this thing, on this guy named King Hezekiah. And if you know anything about King Hezekiah, he got sick in the end of his life. He got super sick. And the prophet came in and told Hezekiah, God said that you are going to die soon. You need to get your life in order right now. You get your things in order, you're going to die. You're sick and you're going to die. Well, King Hezekiah turned his back to the prophet, and he faced the wall, and he sat there and he cried to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I want to live. Let me live. Let me live. And then as the prophet was leaving doing his thing, God spoke to the prophet, and he says, I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. As I was studying throughout this week, God gave me a piece here, because I was a little bit hard sometimes on that previous church, but God showed me something this week. Because I learned a lot from that church. I want to tell you one thing I learned a lot about that church. That church knew how to love. It had problems, but it knew how to love. But there was a piece that happened there as we began to pray. They wanted to pray for the past senior pastor to live for 15 more years. And I was like, what's up with this? So I kind of was behind a few other guys, and I kind of reached in and kind of pulled his suit coat. And he leaned back, and I said, are you in agreement with this prayer that you get 15 more years? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I know there were some things that were going on in that church, but I wasn't sure what was true, what was not. But this was what we were dealing with at this moment. And so in that moment, I said, okay, Lord, if he wants to do that, I'm going to be in agreement with his prayer. And so these other guys were in agreement. So they prayed over him to live for 15 years. And everybody just gets off, and we end up the service, and we all go home. Now, there's one thing I know. When you pray, I know that God is more powerful than what we are. We've all been guilty of it. I don't think we really understand the power of prayer, because sometimes someone can be praying, even like when Chris was praying, our minds can drift off to something else, but we forget that individual, whoever is praying for us, is trying to usher us into the presence of God. Asking God, a holy creator of all things, we're asking for his undivided attention of all things in the world. Now, he can hear and he can do and he can see, and there's nothing impossible for him. But as we're asking, we're tapping on his shoulder, asking for his attention. That makes you a little nervous when you start thinking about it. You're asking God, the creator of all things. You're tapping on his shoulder. You're calling out him. You're saying, I have something I want to say. Now let me come back to that. Within the next year, the church was starting to fall apart. Some things happened, whatever. Came to the church, had to come to the church and tell the pastor, said, listen, God give me this message. You can take it for what you feel. But God said, if you don't take care of this, if you don't take care of business in the house, if you don't take care of this house, I'm taking it and it's done. And he said, tap me on the leg, said, Jimmy boy, that's what he called me from time to time, Jimmy boy, it's all right, it's all taken care of, it's okay. And I stood up, and the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to get out and do not come back. And I was broken. Within 5-6 years or so, that church dissolved and is not even existence today. It was not cleaned up. But I want to tell you why I say that is that God keeps his promises. You see, God, there was a prayer that was prayed in there before that mess and during all that mess that somebody, we had prayed that this man would get another 15 years. And then we did that in 2000. And God reminded, I looked back in the obituaries and this man died in 2015. We need to understand that there is power in prayer. That God answers prayer. And He says there is the confidence that we can go to Him. And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears our prayers. But you got to go in confidence. You have to go in a confidence beyond yourself. You have to go in a confidence that is outside of yourself. That when you tap on the Lord Himself, you tap on to the Holy Spirit, you speak to you. When you're asking for God's attention, you are asking for the Holy Spirit's attention, Jesus' attention, because He intercedes for you and I, and the Father's attention. You're getting the whole Trinity. You're getting it all. And you're asking. And I just want to tell you that when we give reverence now, today we don't give reverence to our president like we should. And even to the prior one we didn't. Whether you like him or not, the Bible says we are to honor those that are in leadership regardless. Back in the day, the knights would come and kneel before the king. And the king would say, rise. And that knight would stand and give his report of what was going on and what was going on upon his trip and his journey and give a report to the king. And sometimes the king would say, is there anything that you want? That man needed to be prepared for that. He would take a moment to think about it. And sometimes he would have a squire next to him, which means he's not a knight, but he's a squire. He would be back a little bit. That squire knew that he better not say anything because he's going to take the repercussions afterwards. But it is amazing that we come to God half-heartedly, not prepared to come to God in prayer. That we need to kneel before Him because He is He's not just a king, He is the king. He is not a God, He is the God. He is the one that was buried but could not stay buried because He was the true Son of God. That He resurrected the first of the dead that rose. And He intercedes at the right hand of God for you and I, speaking on our behalf when we don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit groans and gives us words working through us, and we don't even know how to pray to a holy God. So there's a lot of work going on in just our prayers that we don't see. And God is challenging us to love one another, to keep His commands by loving one another, loving God, obeying, and showing our love to one another. The Bible tells us in 19, He says, we know that we are children of God. When we figure all this out and we're processing it, we understand that we are children of God. He also says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. And even in His Son, Jesus Christ, He is the true God and eternal life. If you want to know what true love is, you must experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to know how to share love, you can't. Sharing love is just not intimacy between a man and a woman, but a true love, real love, unadulterated love is love that God has for people. That we really don't know how to love and give love back and express it without the power and the giftingness of the Holy Spirit. This is why we are still lonely when we should not be. This is why we get depressed more than we should be. This is why we get down and out, and we shouldn't be. This is why we stand in the corner and go, why doesn't anybody love me? Why don't I not feel loved? Because we're not experiencing the true love that God has for us. And we're not expressing that of what we want others and how we want to be treated. We're not expressing that to others. We're not supposed to be hateful to others. We're not supposed to talk bad about others. We're not supposed to gossip about others. We're supposed to be lifting each other up in godly and Christian love and in through prayer and being each other's confidant and being each other's prayer partners and sharing with one another. We need to experience more of that. Admit if you're struggling. The only thing that's going to get hurt is your pride. And sometimes that needs to be kind of knocked off the shoulder from time to time. It's okay to say, I struggle loving people. Lord, help me love people. Lord, I struggle with looking at other children. I can only look at my own children. I don't know how to love other people. Lord, help me to love myself. Because I'm disgusted with myself. I don't love myself. Show me how to love myself. Show me how to love you. Show me how to love people. Because there's one thing in this world that the world needs to see more of, and that is true, genuine love. And love that God gives to us is unconditional. He doesn't see color. But we sure do. I think every denomination's got some issues. But you know what he calls it? The family of God. The bride. And God has chastised me a few times by talking about his bride a few times. Don't you talk about my bride. That's my bride. I love her. You see, we got a lot to learn about love, don't we? I do. I've got to learn a lot about love. Because love is not about me. It's about what God can do through me. That was the first thing we found out with love. Is allowing Jesus Christ that we might live through him. That we might experience what true love is. Today, I don't know where you are individually. But I will tell you this. If you're lonely and you're depressed and you're struggling, probably struggling with the word called love, receiving it and giving it. If you have a hard time loving the church and you talk bad about the church, whether it be this one or another church, you're talking about the bride of Christ. You're talking about God's bride. You're talking about the bride. And God doesn't want that because you're actually a part of it. If you don't know Christ and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, we found out that that's what true love is a relationship with Christ. Listen, the relationships that we have in the world, they're temporal. I have family members that have passed away. Spouses pass away. Children pass away. We pass away. But God is everlasting. Let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you an opportunity this morning.